Chasing Big Joe, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Rand Carthon, Titans general manager, going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. We'll get to some I'm done reactions. Predators tickets on the line, 615-737-1025.
All right, so we got Rand come on a little bit. Hit our text line up. What question would you like for Chase and I to ask Rand Carthon? Right? If there's a couple.
You know Stillman's just going to text in. Right?
If there's a couple that we enjoy that are really different that would really give us some insight, text us 615-737-1025. We'll give you credit. We'll read those. But give us something that's beyond like, hey, what are you going to do at 7? Or are you gonna give us something else that you want to know that you want to know from the Titans and Rand Carthon. So text us 615-737-1025.
All right, let me read some of these I'm done before they come flooding in. 2758, I'm done with Stillman saying pro athletes suck. Just say there are better players at that position. Yeah, I'm kind of the believer in if you're a pro athlete, you can say they suck. If it's a collegiate athlete, probably not. But even though now they get paid, so I guess they're a pro athlete. But I don't know. I don't really care.
Right.
That's what he does. Brian, I'm done with Nashville area roads. You'd think Thornton Mellon was running half marathons with all the potholes out there. It's ridiculous. I'm done, Christian. I'm done with my wife always bringing her vehicle home with the gas light on. It's like every time I need to go to the store for some milk, I have to stop and put gas in the damn thing. Man, I am done, Christian and Donaldson. I mean, isn't that kind of part of it sometimes?
Hey, how about a little more respect when you say Christian from Donaldson? A little bit more respect.
Okay.
For Big Joe's from.
Christian from Donaldson.
Thank you.
We love Donaldson on the Chasing Big Joe show. This is Chuck. Okay, Chase, I'm just reporting, so don't shoot the messenger. Just saw an electronic church sign that said, God will never forsake you, unlike the Cowboys. That's all right, Chuck. Michael wants to weigh in, and I'm done. Michael, what's up?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. So I work in construction, specifically the HVAC side of it, and I'm on this job site right now. I'm not going to drop any names just in case anyone knows where it is because it is local. But we were supposed to do this crane lift about a month ago. We're putting a bunch of units on top of this building that we're working on, and each of these units weighs about 2,000 pounds. It's pretty heavy. So we get one unit up there, and I want to say before I get done with it, I'm specifically done with the superintendent out here because he has just fumbled every bag possible when it comes to this crane lift. Mm-hmm. So we get one unit up there, and then all of a sudden he says, no, go. We have to take it off. We have to cancel the crane lift. We're saying, what's happening? So we find out that they didn't put any reinforcements for the steel up in the roof.
Good Lord.
So with all the weight that's going up there, that we ran the risk of possibly, just caving the whole roof in with all the units that were supposed to go up there. And so that was about a month ago. We get everything down. It's all situated, whatever. So 2 weeks later, we rescheduled the crane lift, do that again. We are able to get a couple of units up there, but he said, oh, we're not done with the steel, so we can't put every unit up there. So we have to schedule another crane lift, which we're actually doing right now today. I'm sitting at the job site right now while we get all the units up there. And he still says, oh, we're still not done with all the steel. You can put a little bit more up there, but we're going to have to schedule another crane lift to come out in a couple weeks just to put up a couple more units because they just have just been dragging their behinds with getting the steel up. And so it's just been really annoying because all this could have been done in one day, maybe two if we got unlucky with the weather. But we've turned a two-day process into about a month and a half just because these guys don't know what they're doing and they can't get the steel up on time. And when it was supposed to have been done before the first ever crane lift ever even started, but they had literally nothing done and we ran the risk of possibly caving the roof in.
All right. Appreciate the call, Michael. He's done with that.
Michael, let us know where this is so we don't go.
I know, right?
Good Lord.
Elliot said, I'm done with my TV remote. Every time I sit down, it's over there.
You know, like this TiVo remote, there's 87 buttons.
Yeah.
And I don't know what any of them do, but the power button.
I have to help you out every
time. We'll start putting duct tape on your remote to, you know, only do the volume and channel
Wait,
up,
let's
channel
go
down.
Back to this construction guy.
Yeah,
what
Mike?
The hell?
I heard it all in the background. Did you not hear all the staple guns and everything, huh?
Well, you know, thank you for listening on the job site. Listen to the Chase and Big Joe show, which everybody should be doing. We appreciate that, but I don't want to visit this. And I know that's not his real name, which is fine, but it's a whistleblower situation here, man.
Name is definitely like Jim or something. Something short.
You don't think it's Michael?
Would you call in and be a whistleblower and give your real name? Hey, this is Chase, and this
Hi, Mr. Order.
This one guy who I work, he smells really bad, and no, you wouldn't do that.
Greg, my final answer, Greg. I think that's his name.
Greg's a powerful construction name.
Yeah, seems like he always got his tool belt on walking around.
I should do that. I should call into a random radio show and, you know, change my name and be like, this person I work with always has a bad attitude and...
Didn't Larry the Cable Guy start that
Probably.
Way?
Probably.
He started calling.
Wasn't it on Bob and Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
He came up with the Larry the Cable Guy thing, and they enjoyed it, and then he moved to Tampa and started it down there with guys, and you could do that. We just gave our audience. And by the way, the questions
But it worked for him. Like, that made his career.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he would call in and do. Yeah. And now they were, you know, he definitely. Tiptoe the line and cross it.
Something that was raunchy. By the way, the text line, you guys are blowing us up. 615-737-1025. What question do you want to ask Rand Carthon? Some we will not ask. I'll just tell you this right now, but there's
Again,
a few in
like,
there.
Like, there's 10 of these that are signed JS. Like, I'm just kidding. It's not.
I would love to know where Rand Carthon loves to eat, because Nashville has a lot of good food spots.
So... Uh-oh. That's a good one. Teron told me, you know, ask him about his shoe game. You know, the shoe game is very strong with TD, but also with Rand. So now there's a few about the hats. Everybody's infatuated with the hats.
By the way, Michael just texted in the text line, and he gave us an explanation of what's going on up there.
Okay.
Michael, we love you, man, but I don't want to get you in trouble, buddy. I don't want to give any more about this. Let's just say where you are is north of the city. How about that? But thank you, Michael. We appreciate you for trusting us.
You're concerned with Michael's well-being.
I'm concerned with your well-being, Dr. Crane. I'm concerned with a lot of well-beings human beings.
Well, and I appreciate that. That's why you're a man of the people.
I don't know if I have to go that far.
I mean, you got your pink tie on. How many ties do you have from TV?
I counted not too long ago. I think I have 88.
And just over time, just accumulating them?
Yep.
Because you got to – I mean, you got to – were you the type that would wear, like, maybe wear the same jacket every day, but you changed the shirt and the tie?
I owned one jacket for years. So I would have a white, a blue, a purple, and a pink shirt. And I would just rotate those in different ties. Nobody ever said a word.
Yeah.
Do I have a real quick time for a quick story?
Sure.
So I had a boss at Channel 4 that I could not stand, and she was like, I'm going to be watching y'all sportscast from Justin Beasley as well to see what kind of content you've got. And I said, all right. I knew she was lying, so I kid you not, for 31 straight on-air days, I wore the same suit. she never noticed. And then one of the coworkers was like, hey, man, don't you have any other ties? And then she found out. It's like, were you playing a trick on me? Like, this is on you. You said you were watching. You lied to us. And then she was fired like a month later.
Is this the same person that couldn't point Gallatin out on a map?
This was that was the next boss. He was an idiot. This boss was let go a month later because she lied. And it's like, I'm going to be watching your sport. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because I pushed the limit on the sports cast. I went to the edge and she never said a word. Mm. And then same everything else.
I'm going to just...
What you got?
Smiled and
While we're still kind of reacting to I'm done, so I'll give a little update on my t-shirts from Australia if anybody's interested. Do not have any contact with the Australian Post.
So you're the t-shirt's probably not coming.
Well, they sent me an email saying, hey, would you like a refund or would you like these shirts? I was like, well, I would like the shirts. And they go, we'll just confirm your address. And I made the mistake. I said, yep, I'll wait. And
You're not going to see those.
I'm hope to get my money back in some regard.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. They gave you the opportunity, and even then it was iffy, but
I botched it.
No, I mean, you followed your heart, and that's okay. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Titans general manager Rand Carthon, hopefully around 10:15, give or take a few minutes, but he will be joining us very, very soon. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let's bring in Titans general manager Rand Carthon, who's live from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. Rand, good morning. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
Top of the top. How we doing? I enjoyed that Genesis commercial. I'm in the market for a Rolex, so I might have to hit that up.
Hey, there you go. See, we're already helping you out, you know, this morning. The Combine is always an interesting time. I've gotten to go to a few, and I had the luxury of being with a former GM, so watching him navigate that and watch talent was really cool for me. But for you, how do you tackle the Combine, especially now that this is your second one as a general manager and knowing that you got a shopping list that – you want to fill out, but you also have a lot of cap space and obviously a really good draft pick to fill that shopping list. So what are some things that you're kind of looking for in talking to these guys and watching these guys work out?
I'm really looking forward to spending time with these players. it'll be my first exposure to them, in terms of being able to talk to them. You know, went out on the road and saw a few of these guys play live, in the fall, but you know, actually being able to sit down, get to know them as people, get to know what makes them tick, and get to see how they ultimately fit, you know, in our organization, our city, and our state.
I know that we talk a lot about the cap space. You were asked about that in your press conference you just did. But, you know, where are you guys as far as planning to spend the actual cash? Because you cap space is great. You can make that work with the contracts. But, you know, when it comes to actually spending the money and being smart about it, like you talked about, bringing in players that are going to fit the team, what's kind of that balance and knowing that you can use the cap space to your advantage, but also, you know, having to spend the actual money?
Yeah, I think I've said, like, you know, we have to exercise patience, you know, and just because we have it don't mean you have to go out and recklessly spend it. I think back to when I was a little kid and, you know, you get money in your pocket. And, you know, you go to the store and the first thing you want to buy, the first thing you see, you know, because you have the money. And I just remember my parents saying, you know, that money is burning a hole in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You can't wait to spend it. But we just got to exercise patience, understand that we'll be well positioned to, you know, target, you know, any player that we see fit, but not just, you know, if there's another guy available and not just jump off and, oh, my God, we have it. So let's go get it. And then, you know, on the back end, we'll put ourselves in a position where we're now having to restructure and do a bunch of different things to be in compliance. So there are going to be other good players that come free later in the process that we have to be well positioned to swing at, as well as have operating costs, you know, for the season as we, you know, make different roster moves and such. So it's going to be a exercise of patience. We'll be well positioned and, you know, real detailed in who our initial targets will be. And, you know, hopefully be in position to bring those guys aboard. But, you know, again, I'll say it again, it's like we're just going to have to exercise patience.
Yeah, and along those lines too, Rand, and I know the burning a hole in your pocket, like that's a great way to look at it. You want to be smart. But if there is a guy that you covet, that you just think he's got to be a Tennessee Titan, he's going to make our team better, he's going to fit our culture, he's going to work well with Brian Callahan and Will Levis, do you subscribe to the fact that you might have to pay a little bit more than the sticker price or that you wanted to, but if that guy is worth it, that you and Amy are willing to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I look at it like this. The market is the market, right? I hear, you know, obviously I'm new to Nashville, but I hear people talk about the housing market and the cost of homes of what it used to be in Nashville versus what it is now, you know, at the end of the day, you have to pay, you know, all of what the market dictates. You know, however, you know, you can look at it as the average per year, or you can look at it as the percentage of the cap. And usually the percentage of the caps are numbers that kind of stay consistent, you know, on how positions are valued. So however you choose to look at it, you look at it. But like you said, if there's a guy that we covet that we really feel like can help our program grow and that can add value to our program, we're going to, you know, try our damnedest to get him signed.
We're talking Titans general manager Rand Carthon here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And Rand, thanks for doing this with us. We asked our listeners to send in questions for you to ask. And one was a great question from Lenny. From Ben. He says, after the first round of free agency ends, how do you adjust your draft strategy knowing who is left for second round or third round of free agency? Is there a setup for that when all the guys are like the first wave goes? Do you have something set up for the second wave and so on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a plan. You kind of know where the values are. You know where the draft is heavy, where free agency class is heavy. And again, there'll be some guys that slip through the cracks that you did not think you had a shot at. Example of that is last year, us, you know, signing Aziz. Having come from San Fran, in my mind, it was a foregone conclusion that he'd be going to Houston. You know, to play for D'Amico, who was his position coach and who was his D coordinator. But then we're sitting there and Aziz is available, you know. And so for us, it was a quick conversation. We had the space and, you know, not only a quick conversation between, you know, Aziz's representation and I, but, you know, our staff and the fit for him. And so we were able to step in and get him. And I mean, he became, you know, single season, you know, tackle leader, you know, in franchise history. So those type of things are going to happen. You know, there'll be a guy too that slips through the crack, but then, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you don't want to make a habit of doing that all the time.
Rand, we get a lot of questions about Derrick Henry. Will he come back? Will he not come back? We learned yesterday he's not going to be franchise tagged. I'm guessing you get asked that question quite a bit, right? About the future of Derrick Henry.
I get that question more than anything. I get that question more than how you doing. So yeah, I get that a lot.
It's one of those things where, you know, it's probably, you know the answer. Derek probably doesn't know the answer yet and everything. This will all play out on its own, right? Is this typically how it happens?
Yeah, we're going to let it play out. And like I said, for the most part, we don't like to, you know, what we call family business, you know, because that opens the door when you speak about it publicly. That opens the door for, you know, little fires to be created that may not exist. You know, we have a close relationship, obviously, with Derek and with his representation, Todd France. And so those conversations will be had when they need to, and we'll see how it all shakes out.
Rand, you're going through the combine. You're talking to a lot of players up there. You have a lot of questions when you sit down with these guys. Is there one important question more than any other question that you ask these guys that it could, I don't say make or break if you're going to draft them or something, but is there that question you have in your back pocket where you really want to hear a good answer from this young man?
Actually, I don't. For me in this process, I sit back and more so listen, you know, throughout this process and allow our area scouts and our national scouts to lead. You know, they're the guys that have been going in these schools for the last 3, 4, 5, and 6 years of getting to know these guys. And so I think it'd be selfish of me to, you know, jump into this part of the process and try to take it over and ask all the questions. So I let them drive the interview, and I just listen, and I'll add a question in, you know, here or there. But, you know, realistically, I just like to hear about their passion for the game, how they approach the game. If there is a question, I'll ask them. It'll be more so about their preparation in the week and what that looks like for them, and have them talk me and walk me through that. That'll be the one question that I'll typically ask, just to see if they have a plan on how they're going to attack the opponent each week.
Titans general manager Rand Carthon online with us. So how would you compare the top receivers like a Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, that have been, you know, predicted to be around 7, to the top left tackles like a Joe Alt or a Ola Fashanu that have been predicted to be around 7? How do you decide between that when those positions are so completely different?
I think it, again, you have to look at the totality of the team, you know, and what moves we're going to make during free agency. I know there's a school of thought that some people wish that the draft was before free agency. You know what I mean? So you can get the young guys in and see where you need to supplement with the vets. But I think when you're looking at, you know, just to use that example you gave me, it's, you know, what moves are made in free agency, you know, and then by that time, you know, by the time the draft comes, we'll have had more time to, you know, talk about our scheme and how we're going to do things, and in what ways can we adjust if we don't have, you know, certain positions. Then also it's a peek into the future, you know, peek into the future of the 2025 draft. Like, where's the 2025 draft going, and where's that going to be heavy? You know, is it going to be O-line heavy again next year? Is it going to be receiver heavy next year? Is it a need that we can address right now? And then also, like, what receivers or offensive linemen are going to be available, you know, at the when teams start making moves? So it's all those things that you have to weigh. It's not as simple and dry as, you know, who's available for you at the draft.
So with more quality depth at wide receiver in free agency than maybe tackle, how does that affect your draft strategy, or are you even that far yet?
No, we're not, but we're very close. When we get back, we're going to have our free agency meeting with our coaches. We've already had the free agency meetings with the scouts. And so, with being that we're a new coaching staff and these guys are coming in, hitting the ground running, you know, hence why they're not here. They're back home, you know, doing the work. So we'll be able to have more of a clear thought of that once we get back and have the meeting with the coaches.
So you got your quarterback in Will Levis last year, but, you know, you have a high pick. So I know you do the due diligence and there's some quarterbacks. How much research do you do on those top quarterbacks, even though you know you got a pretty good one in Will?
No, I think you have to do the research. If for nothing more, it's like these are going to be guys that you got to play against. You know what I mean? Our division is well positioned and everybody has a good, you know, young quarterback. And we're going to play each other multiple times a year. But these are going to be potentially the quarterbacks that we got to play to get to our ultimate goal at some point. So being able to study them and have a vision for them, because some of these guys you're only going to play every 4 years, you know, so you're not going to see them that much. But, you know, if nothing else, you're doing them, you know, just to have an idea of who they are and what they're capable of doing.
Rand, again, thanks for doing this, and thanks for answering all of our hypothetical questions. We know the hypotheticals well. Another question for you: if there's a player A out there that you really like, and you have a chance to go get him, but you understand that he's wanting so much more money than previously asked for, do you sit down with Amy and Chad and say, "All right, here's what we do. Here's how it goes"? How does that process work when you really want somebody, but they're asking for a lot more than maybe you think they're worth?
Well, I think them asking for it and actually getting are two different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I tell my kids all the time, a closed mouth don't get fed. And so, if they can ask, but if the market doesn't dictate it, then, you know, you may overshoot your hand and may end up actually getting less. You know, however, you go into every negotiation having a walkaway price, you know, because you don't want to start setting the precedent of constantly overpaying. And so, you know, we're going to go and, we're going to be within the market. And if you have to, you know, we always go into a situation of saying, hey, like, this is what the market dictates. This is where we can ultimately get up. Like, I'm okay with going, you know, up a little bit more if we have to, but you also have to set a walkaway price and say, you know what, at this point, like, we're not going that high, you know, because again, you have a long-term responsibility to the organization, to be tactful in how you spend the money.
Again, another hypothetical. Do you think you will be active or the Titans on that first day? I know you had the chance a few days before that to talk to people in the legal tampering part, which is a crazy, great oxymoron. But you think you see you guys hit the ground running that first day, Rand?
Yeah, so I'll tell you this. Like, last year we were active. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the deals didn't come in place, on the first day. They weren't announced, you know, on the first day. You know, so that whole, like – you know, if nothing is announced on the first day, doesn't mean that we're active or not active or we hadn't been working. It's just a matter of being able to, you know, get the terms agreed to. And plus, I'm the type of person that, you know, I don't believe it until it's signed, you know, because I've seen situations and I think we've seen it, you know, with some of these coaching staff, you know, hires where a coach is reported going here and then, you know, the news breaks that this person is going here. And then, you know, 2 hours later, okay, the coach is not going there. So, you know, for us, like, you know, we can agree to terms and, you know, probably won't have an official, you know, announcement to make until we know we've got pen to paper.
Very good.
Rand Carthon is with us, Titans general manager. And, Rand, you know, you come across as a very laid-back guy, a guy that loves football. You grew up in football and have been very outspoken about that. And as you enter year two as GM, you go through year one and look, you guys didn't make the playoffs. It wasn't what anybody wanted. You got a new head coach. You know that criticism kind of comes with the game. How did you adapt to that and adjust to getting that criticism to make yourself stronger and make you better at your job, and how will you apply that into year two?
Man, I just ignore the noise. I mean, there's a reason why I'm not on social media, you know, so you don't have to, you know, hear all that. Like, I'm not on social media, but, you know, I have friends and family that are, and they kind of, you know, keep me in the loop. Again, you don't go out to be in one of these positions and not know that scrutiny is going to come. But to me, the cure-all to it all is winning football games. And that's what my focus is and always will be, is winning football games. And I know that the more we could do that, the better off we'll be. And that's my job. And I know ultimately if I don't do enough of that, then I know this won't be my job. And so I try to stay focused on, you know, the guys in the building hear me talk about it all the time, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is constantly improving this roster and putting us in position to win football games. And so that's always been my focus.
Rand, one more before you go. To me, the best place on planet Earth is Key West, Florida. When I found
my
out,
man, I agree with you.
When I found, in fact, Chase and I went down and saw you guys beat the Dolphins. We stayed in Key West. We actually drove by Key West High School, and I said, "Hey, that's where Rand Carthon went to high school." What was that like growing up in Key West and playing football down there?
Well, I'll tell you this: the Key West High School you drove by is not the Key West High School I went to, and I say that tongue in cheek because it's a new school that was rebuilt. And so it was rebuilt after I left. So we all joke, all of us old heads, and say, yeah, we went to Key West High School, but our Key West High School didn't look like that. So I think the only thing that's still the same there is that big conch shell that you passed that was in the front of the school. That's pretty much a landmark. But growing up in Key West was awesome. I tell anybody, if you've ever been to the Bahamas, it's the Bahamas stateside. You know, big influence on me and my demeanor and my approach to everything. It's a, you know, a laid back place, you know, fun loving, you know, everybody takes care of everybody. You know, it's a very small island, so everybody knows everybody. And so it's very family oriented, very community oriented. You know, I get so much support, you know, from, you know, my family in Key West. When I say my family, I'm talking about my actual family and my extended family and people that have just become family to the point of, you know, the last game of the season, you know, versus Jacksonville, I had 18 people from Key West in town.
Woo.
You know, from my high school coach to friends from high school to their husbands, their wives. And that's the type of community we have. Like, if one of us, you know, is doing something or, you know, are in a place that needs support, like, everybody comes out to support. So Key West is awesome. You know, I was blessed to, you know, be able to live there and grow up there, and it really shaped me and helped mold me into who I am today.
Beautiful.
Rand, as we let you go, I'm going to give you a question to ask a prospect, because as I interview people in my job as program director, I want to know how they think under pressure. So I use this one a lot. So I'm going to let you use it too. If you're sitting at a blackjack table and the dealer has a 7 or above and you have a 16, do you hit or do you stay?
What's the correct answer? Is there a correct answer?
It's up to you. It's how you deal with a pressure situation, because it's kind of a coin flip. So that's why I leave that up to, you know, whoever's answering the question. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer.
Some of these guys are gamblers. They'll hit on 17s.
Exactly. Rand, appreciate this so much, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road after the draft. But enjoy the combine, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. That's Rand Carthon, right, Titans general manager, joining us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. Really good stuff there. We'll take your reaction to some of the things you heard from the Titans GM. Again, Titans head coach Brian Callahan going to join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at 11. It's the Chasing Big Joe show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Appreciate Titans GM Rand Carthon for joining us on the show. Good stuff with him. He is a laid-back guy. I like that about him.
I mean, there's a – look, we could sit there and say do this and do that, but nobody does that, knows how to do that job. I mean, we all think we know how, but I did find it interesting, though, Chaser, that he doesn't ask questions to the prospects. I found that a little bit different. Now, I understood his answer, letting the area scout it, but if I'm the GM and the buck is allegedly supposed to stop with me – I'm running that like a dictator. I am controlling the interview. I want to hear, and I am the guy making the – that's just me.
Well,
there's no right or wrong answer.
Right, and he did say that he lets, you know, the scouts and Chad and others kind of start it, and then he jumps in later. But I am curious about that strategy. You know, if I'm a listener too. I'm an observer, so maybe that's how he, you know, and I'm sure they've all talked about what's going to be asked, you know.
But
so he knows going in, but I would prefer to ask, you know, my own questions too.
Well, you're the program director.
Yep.
You're the boss here. So you ultimately have to hire people. I mean, you're the one. I mean, it's there's other people that weigh in. But do you not want to hear? I mean, would you not bring a potential on-air person? You would want to. You would run the interview. I mean, you would because
sure.
You're hiring. That's just me. And, you know, if it doesn't work for Rand, that's fine. But I would want the question because, you know, you hear from guys who get in those rooms and the questions and they're sweating and a lot of pressure. And you're, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I want those guys to be sweating and to be like, what question be asked? And see them under – it's just a question, an interview process.
And here's the other thing, too. This is how I'm going about this. And some of you will and some of you won't, and that's fine. Everybody's entitled to do it their way. I kind of look at this year as even though it's his second year as general manager, it's really his first. Because
yeah, okay.
Last year, you the coach was already here and you brought in the GM – and I feel like that Rand was doing his best to try and appease Vrabel.
Okay.
And do it the way that Vrabel wanted to do it. Now it's his show. Now he gets the opportunity to do it the way that he wants to do it. Do I believe there's collaboration? 100% there's collaboration. Brian Callahan's going to weigh in on things and what works in his system and what he's looking for. And as he gets to know Will Levis, what he thinks is going to work with Levis – Chad Brinker is going to weigh in, Anthony Robinson, like they're all going to be collaborating. But ultimately, and he said it in the interview, that if things go the way they're supposed to go, you have a job. If mm-hmm. things don't go the way they're supposed to go, you don't have a job. And he knows that. And so I kind of look at it as you get to try it your way. And if you want your scouts and you want Chad Brinker and you want those guys – to go in and be more of the question askers and things, then okay.
Yeah.
And if that works, then nobody's going to bat an eye at it.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, you know, you now it's your ship. I mean, you're the captain. You know, I'm
sure.
The captain now. And then you do what you want, you think is best. You've been observing. You've worked under 49ers and see things go and how they're doing things, and you'll do them here and go forward. It's just that I don't know, that's what I kind of took away a little bit. That's
yeah.
Just for me. That's it. No, right or wrong.
I hope he uses the blackjack question.
Do you think so?
Look, it's a good one.
It is. I mean, I was like, in my mind, I don't do math well, so I was like, all right, yeah. Well,
my answer is you hit because it's gambling.
Ask the question again.
You're taking a risk. The question is, you're at the blackjack table. Dealer is showing a 7 or above. And you have a 16. So you have the choice. You can stay or you can hit. Because, you know, the odds of hitting are you can't go above 21. So they're not really in your favor.
Right.
But it's a – you also – the odds of you winning the hand, if they have a 7 or above, are also not in your favor. So it's kind of a 50-50 split. You have to – I learned early on in playing blackjack that – you kind of have to make that decision within yourself of what are you going to do.
I hit. Fortune favors the bold.
Right.
I hit.
And if I'm talking to a football player, like, I want you to be a smart player, but, you know, I want you to be willing to take some risks, too.
Because I
think that kind of mentality, that's what it, like, you kind of look at it as you're going into battle. Well, I want that. You know, like I want a guy that's not scared.
Oh, yeah, I agree. By the way,
that's what it is.
My phone says I'm doing a great job. I'm off to a great start being active. I haven't moved from my chair in an hour and 15 minutes. Just, Joe, you're off to a great start. What, sitting on my butt? Thanks.
Well, I'm glad.
Good
I'm
times.
Proud of you. So, again, Brian Callahan going to join the midday show in about 15 minutes with Caroline Willie and D.E. Mace. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is, put a bow on things, celebrity birthdays, here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Arkansas on the road. Pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8. With coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. And don't miss tomorrow night, Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. at 6 o'clock, you can see Michael McCarron and Dante Fabro. Smashville Live presented by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Before we get to birthdays, real quick, Cliff has been waiting very patiently. Cliff, what's up? Cliff?
You snoring?
Is that really happening right now?
Cliff. Hey, buddy.
Cliff.
Cliff. Hey, buddy.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I have never in my life.
Is he still there?
He's still on hold. I'm scared to, like, when he wakes up, be like, what the hell?
God, we really do bore people. I've always heard that, but I never realized that we do that. Okay, Cliff, have a good day, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
Dream of bunnies and treats. That's what I tell my dog all the time when she's snoring. Like,
that's impressive.
In all your years of radio
never.
Or TV.
I thought it was a joke, and it's not a joke. Well, thank you for the promo for the next 3 years, Cliff.
Oh, my God. Oh, hit the music. Get his birthday. So I don't know if I can do this.
All right. Let's see here. First birthday. How old's Josh Groban? I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, if you were watching the stream, these are real tears.
I just want to
watch this. After the first little haw, I was like, oh, no.
But that's legit.
That was legit.
Holy cow. We just skipped this.
Oh, probably. Okay. I don't even remember who you asked.
Josh Groban.
The opera singer, right? You raise me up? Yeah. I love that.
48.
55.
43. Paul Newman's.
Byron says, best call ever. Right, that was the most stat.
Here's just one. All right, we got a lot of great. Obviously, you know, you figures the one day we have a lot of great birthdays. All right, here's the one we get. The guitar player for Journey, Neil Sean. How old is he today? That's it.
58.
I was going to say 58. We can go 53.
He's 70.
Oh, boy.
You guys, Ben, we're done with this, man.
You sure?
Thanks, Cliff.
our friend Greg Pogue just says that is an all-time classic.
I feel bad for his wife if he's married. Good Lord, that was the loudest snore I've heard in my life.
Well, I might give him
I'd take
a run
that
there.
Back. Chase snored so loud that I was throwing water bottles, remotes. I threw a light bulb at him that I unscrewed out of the light of the lamp and threw it Chase during our trip down south. I mean, okay, you get it. All right, again, thanks to Rand Carthon for joining the show. Hal Gill, thank you. As we leave our show every day, to our guys out there, listen, if you're struggling going through some things, know that we love you. Call 988 on your cell phone. Please reach out and talk to somebody. As we tell you every single day, God made you unique. You're wanted on this planet. We love you. This world's a better place because you're here. Please know that.
Amen to that. Cliff, get some rest. Peace, love, and rock and roll. Brian Callahan next. Caroline Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.